Welcome to the Journey of Wholeness podcast. We are a group of passionate individuals who are coaches and mentors here to help inspire, guide, and support you on your journey of wholeness. We know that the journey of wholeness is a lifelong pursuit, and we are thrilled to join you in your journey. We are passionate about sharing our life lessons, wisdom, and knowledge to help you to transform your life. We focus on teaching principles of truth, supporting you in applying those truths, and helping you to live a life full of joy. Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of The Journey of Wholeness. I am really excited to share some thoughts with you that I had of a recent movie watching experience that I had. At the time of this recording, it is December time and we are in full Christmas swing. And I recently just watched the movie The Polar Express, and I really wanted to watch that recently because it's one of my absolute favorite Christmas movies, and it has taught me a lot of things throughout the years. Every year that I watch it, sometimes I watch, it's a little secret about me, sometimes I watch Christmas movies when it's not Christmas time. And this is one of those movies that I will watch pretty much almost any time of the year. And I wanted to share some insights with you from this movie, hopefully to inspire you during this Christmas season. But also, if you're listening to this at any time of the year, I'm praying that this will inspire you as well. I want to give you some background details of my experience with the Polar Express, and then share my insights with you from the most recent watching that I did with the movie. So, in the past, I've always loved it. It's such a powerful story, right? So, if you've never seen it or you don't know the story, it's about this story. This young boy. He looks like he's maybe about 10, maybe 11 years old. And he's basically going through this faith crisis when it comes to Santa. And the story begins with him in his house, and it's Christmas Eve. And it shows multiple moments and episodes, or like different pictures and news clippings that he saved where he's like, no, Santa doesn't exist. And he just is seeing Christmas through the lens of doubt, that doubting that Christmas or that Santa is real. He's trying to fall asleep Christmas Eve night, and next thing he knows, there's this really loud noise outside of his window, and this whole house is rattling, and this train shows up in the middle of the street, and he walks out, he grabs his robe, and it's the middle of the night, and it's snowing. And he runs out and he's so amazed by this train. And the conductor gets off the train and he says, all aboard. And he walks towards the conductor and he says, what do you mean? Where is this train going? And the conductor says, to the North Pole, of course. And he says, this is the Polar Express. And they have this conversation, and this boy kind of looks really skeptical. And the conductor says, it's your choice. And the boy kind of shakes his head and backs away from the train. And the conductor gives the drivers the signal to start going forward. So the train starts moving and it starts departing. And this little boy watches this train in total amazement that it's leaving. And it's leaving him. And he has this realization of, oh gosh, I need to get on this train. And he starts running and he jumps on the train. And the rest of the movie is the story of him and of this whole train full of children on their way to the North Pole to meet Santa. And they're trying to get to the North Pole before midnight, and before Santa leaves on his night of delivering gifts. And they have lots of challenges, lots of interesting things that happen along the journey. They meet a lot of new people, a lot of new characters are introduced along the story. Some of them are children, others are like the conductor, There's an antagonist in the story, and I won't tell you the details of him if you haven't seen the movie. But he plays the role of doubt. He really plays on the doubt in this little boy's mind and his heart. And then they get to the North Pole, and they find themselves in a little bit of trouble, and have to go on this adventure to try and find themselves back into the center of town where Santa is found. And this other little girl's leading the way, and the only reason that they can find their way through this elf city is because she can hear the magic of the Christmas bells, and that leads them through the maze of the city. And he's continually doubting whether or not she's making the right choice. And you know, they go on this interesting journey and process to find the center of the North Pole. Well, they eventually get back to where they need to go, where they need to be in the center of town, where Santa's going to make his appearance in a few minutes. And everybody's there. The whole city is empty except in the city center. And pretty soon Santa shows up. He emerges. The reindeer come out first, and then Santa comes out last. And all of the elves, they're just tiny little people. They're about a third of the height of a child. And they bring out the reindeer, and they get them hooked up to the sleigh, and then Santa comes, and all the elves are so thrilled and so excited and so full of joy that Santa's here, and they're jumping up and down, and they're blocking this little boy's view from being able to see Santa. And he struggles. He keeps trying to reach around people to see Santa, and he keeps extending himself up and down and all the different directions, and he can't see Santa. And because of all this distraction from being able to see the thing that he really wants to see, whether or not Santa is real and whether or not he exists, one of the bells that's attached to the reindeer from Santa's sleigh, he turns and watches the reindeer and sees this bell just slowly get unattached, and it goes flinging in the air. And this bell lands on the ground and rolls and ends up landing right before his feet. And then he leans down and he picks up the bell, and he pulls it up to his ear, and he tries to shake it and tries to hear the bell sound, but he can't hear anything. There's nothing to be heard. And this is his moment of he has to figure this out for himself, because everyone around him can hear the bells. All of the elves, all the other children, the conductor, everyone that he's surrounded by can hear the bells. But he couldn't. He can't hear the bell. And he kind of turns himself away from the exuberant crowd that is all around him. And it's like he's talking to himself, but he kind of is talking to this bell that's cupped in his hand. And he says, "Okay, I believe." And he repeats it a couple of times, and he says, "I believe. I believe." And in that moment, Santa shows up behind him, and he talks to him, and he says, "Hello there, young man." And they have a conversation about the fact that he just claimed that he believed. And this little boy kind of backed out of his belief, and he said, "I believe this is yours." But Santa already knew where he was at with his faith, because that's why Santa had shown up. And then Santa, his job at that point in the storyline is to give the first gift of Christmas. And as soon as he gives the very first gift of Christmas, which is to be to one of the children that has made their way through to the North Pole on the Polar Express, he's supposed to give the first gift of Christmas. And then after that, he leaves. He departs for his night of gift giving. And so Santa then has the job of determining which child is to receive the first gift of Christmas. And he looks at all the children, and he ends up choosing this little boy, the main character of the story. And they decide upon what the first gift of Christmas is, because the little boy tells Santa what he would like. And he gives him the bell that flew off of the reindeer, at his feet. And the rest of the story goes that the first gift of Christmas was given. Santa takes off on his sleigh, and all the children get back on the train, and they head home, and they're all delivered back home in the middle of the Christmas night, and they wake up in their beds the next morning to Christmas. And this little boy's belief that he gained when he was in the North Pole never left him. And he could hear the bell that morning and forever throughout his whole life. So that's the story of the Polar Express. There's some really beautiful details that go along with it. But I wanted to share with you some of the background details of some of your past experiences with the Polar Express. And then share with you some of my current observations from the story. So in the past, when I watched it, as I've been on a healing journey for several years, when it comes to my belief in myself, my trust with myself, the feelings that I have about myself, I used to chronically really struggle with really low self-esteem. I just couldn't see any good inside of who I was. And I struggled with massive perfectionism issues, and I really, to be blunt, I hated who I was, and there wasn't any real reason. There were some things that, like some behaviors inside of me that were truly out of alignment with my heart, but throughout my life, I think I just picked up some really very sad emotional patterns of behavior. Like perfectionism, because perfectionism is a very toxic way of dealing with life and with the world. And so for many years I struggled and suffered with a lot of quite debilitating emotional struggles. And I couldn't believe that any good things would happen to me. And as I watched the Polar Express, I really resonated with the story of little Billy, who's on the train. And he comes from, you can tell that he comes from probably poorer circumstances as he tells his story and you see his clothes and things like that. He comes from a poor part of town. And he just has this, and when he gets on the train, he separates himself from all the other kids. And then he's very introverted and doesn't want to talk to them. The only reason he opens up and talks to people is because this other little girl on the train befriends him and takes him some treats and things. And at one point, the main story in the movie, he's singing his woes about how Christmas just doesn't work out for him. And this other little girl is singing her heart out about how beautiful Christmas time is and how the tree is beautiful and people come home and it's time for family and friends and how can you be alone? And this little boy's response all the time is, but things just don't work out for me. And she says, well, what about the presents under the tree? And he says, I've never had that. I don't even know what that's like. And in the past, like I said, I've really resonated with his message. And along my healing journey, being as intuitive as I have learned how to be over the years, intuitively, I've always felt like there's a little Billy inside of me, that I have those same belief systems inside, right? That things just don't work out for me. And it's just hard to believe. And as I became aware of that little voice inside of me, it helped me to work through those thoughts and those feelings that surfaced often in my life. But as it became conscious and a part of who I am, or consciously in my awareness, then I could do something about it. And it was because of the Polar Express and how they had portrayed this little boy that I could find that part of myself and address her, and allow the healing that is available to heal me. And as I watched the Polar Express just recently, I checked in with that little Billy voice that's been inside. And I think in the past, it was probably about 80%, 80 to 90% like in strength inside of me. Like there was a lot of that. Like it just doesn't work out for me, belief system. And as I just rewatched the movie, I was paying attention to Billy because of how strong that has been for me in the past. And I'm so happy to recognize that it has significantly reduced as I kind of just checked in with my own heart and soul. And it's like a fourth of that at this point. It's still there, right? Like I'm continually learning and growing and healing and allowing the light to change who I am, to change me from the inside out, right? But massive change, massive progress has been made in that department. I have a lot more belief and self-trust and a lot of good things. And those are the things that we share here in the Journey of Wholeness. And we're really excited about teaching you any of the principles that can help you to change your little Billy voice or whatever thing that is holding you back and holding you stuck to help you to progress forward. So that's one really beautiful insight that I had this time around. The next insight that I had was so amazing that I recognized in this story that oftentimes during Christmas, the figure of Santa Claus represents Jesus Christ for so many reasons. Santa, there's so many parallels between Santa and Jesus Christ. And I'm not trying to be sacrilegious because I love Jesus so much. And I know Santa is not the same thing as Jesus Christ, but there's a lot of parallels in the story of Christmas and Santa that we can learn in terms of a parable. Like Christmas is a parable about Jesus and Santa is a parable. And as I rewatched this and they came into the North Pole and this city and Santa emerged, I was struck with how generous Christ is. Santa is the giver of all good gifts. And there's one scene in the movie where the elves that are in charge of making sure that children get presents, they have a last minute warning call that there's a child in some city in North America that he just barely put gum in his sister's hair, and they have to like call on the emergency phone to Santa to say, this is just what's happening, what do we do? And Santa basically gives them the go ahead to just keep him on the list to get a present for Christmas. But they said, we're going to put them on the double checklist next year. And I don't really believe that there are elves that are doing that, but right. How beautiful, how generous God is and how generous our Savior is. And with their amazing, abundant goodness that, literally the story of Santa, right? Like one night he gives and gives and gives and gives and gives all night long to all the children in the whole entire world. And, I'm often drawn to the parallel that obviously parents are the ones that are really doing that in real life. And yet how often the parents in our worlds are acting in a similar fashion that our Heavenly Father and that Jesus Christ would. Through the space of love, through the gift giving, through the generousness that parents are in that space that they hold for their children. That was a really beautiful insight. Another beautiful parallel that I drew from Santa in looking at him through the lens of Jesus Christ is that he gave this beautiful gift to this little boy, and he just knew who it was that needed the gift. And oftentimes, I believe that that is the case with Jesus Christ, that he knows exactly when and who needs what gift. That's the beauty of being close with him and with Heavenly Father, that they know, and they know you, and they know exactly what gift you need to help you along your journey of faith or of leadership or of learning to trust, which are the three main principles that these children are learning, the individual children through the story are learning. And so I loved that storyline as well. I also loved the moment when this little boy through all of his skepticism and doubt through the whole movie, he has this moment. Nobody else was pressuring him, but he had this moment within him, his own self, within his own being, where he had to come to a moment of, I do believe. I choose to believe. And nobody else heard him. It was him and the bell in his hand, and that was it. And it was in that moment that his heart changed to one of belief, that that's when Santa, or this quote-unquote Santa, or Christ came to him. Christ knows when we're ready. He knows when our hearts change. He knows when they are open and ready to receive all of his gifts. But we have to believe first. And there's always a part of us that doesn't believe. There's always a part inside of every one of us that struggles to believe because it's part of our human experience. And anyway, I just really loved that part of that story. Another interesting insight that I had once the children got to the North Pole city, it's kind of a fun part of the storyline, but the conductor has, you know, his like a timing watch that he always pulls out of his pocket to see if they're on time or late or whatever. And you never see his pocket watch until you get to the North Pole, like the inside of it, to see what's actually inside. And they get to the North Pole, like they're arriving at the platform, and he looks at the clock and he says, "Whew, we made it with 5 minutes to spare." And it's such a beautiful moment to recognize in time that they arrived at 11:55 p.m. You never know actually when they leave, but they arrived to the North Pole at 11:55 p.m. And then these children go on this really crazy and intense adventure. They end up in the very last car of the train, which gets disconnected from the rest of the train. And then it actually goes all through the train tracks and through this whole crazy adventure. And they have no idea where they're at. They get totally lost in the city, these three little kids. And like I already explained, like they then have to find themselves, they have to figure out a way to get back to where Santa is. And the little girl is listening for the Christmas bell sounds, and the little boy can't hear them. And so they're trying to get through the maze of the city, and they come across different challenging situation after situation after situation after situation. Eventually they make it back, but it's a long time that they're trying to get through the city. I mean, it's maybe like 10, 15 minutes total in terms of the movie time. And, you know, scene after scene after scene of them trying to figure this out. And they end up actually getting deposited in the big pile of presents that Santa's going to be delivering. And then that big pile of presents gets put onto Santa's sleigh. And that's how they get back into the city. And so it's a very roundabout way that they get back. But when they, like, they're at the very top of Santa's big giant red bag, and these elves pop their heads over the edge of the bag and they say, "What are you stowaways doing in here?" And the children are like, sorry. And they said, and the elves respond by saying, "No problem. We knew you were here the whole time." I loved that moment because, again, back to the thought that Christ knows when our hearts change. He also knows where we are at all times. All the time, he is aware of us. And it's such a beautiful, comforting thing to recognize that the people in the movie, in the storyline that were there to represent Santa, right, his elves, they knew where these children were at the whole time. And they were never really lost. And I've been in spaces when I've been lost spiritually, in my own heart, in my mind. I've been through some really tough, dark places. And to recognize that I've never truly been lost when I thought I was completely lost and in the dark. I've never really been lost. He's always known where I'm at. So that's a beautiful, comforting thing. So then the children get back to the main platform, and they're waiting for Santa to arrive. And as they're trying to get back to the main part of the city, this little girl that can hear the bell, she's really stressed because she's like, we don't have much time. We're going to miss Santa. And it turns out that that 5 minutes from 11:55 until midnight stretched indefinitely until everything was right. Santa didn't arrive until everything was put in place and everything was in order. And 5 minutes is 5 minutes, which is not a lot of time in our mortal time, right? But in Santa, quote unquote, Santa's realm, or in Jesus's realm, 5 minutes could be everything. And he knows exactly how to make that 5 minutes perfect, which is what was illustrated in the movie. That was another cool insight that I had this time around from the message of the story. Back to the stories of the children that were on the train, the three main ones, right? The little boy, the little girl, and Billy. Just beautiful transformations that came along with their stories. And I've already kind of highlighted some of them, but we all go through a transformative process as we go on a journey, right? The little boy, his journey was one from doubting and lack of faith and not being able to believe or unbelief to one of belief. And we see this in the message that is punched into their tickets. The conductor asks for their tickets at the beginning of this their journey on the train, and he only punches enough punches to put in two letters in each of their tickets. And if you haven't seen the movie, you probably don't know what I'm talking about, but he does all this fancy work with his punch thing, and each child looks at their ticket after he's done with it, and they're like, what does that mean? And then at the end, as they re-embark on the train, he punches their tickets again and he completes the word. And it is it's a word that represents the journey that they have each been on of change and transformation. And the little boy that started his journey with doubt and lack of belief, at the beginning, his letters were B and E at the beginning and the end of his ticket. And when he got back on the train, he punched in the rest of the letters and his word was believe. And that totally sums up his story, because as I was explaining, the protagonist in the story, who's a ghost actually, who rides the train, he's often found either underneath the train or on top of the train or in different random parts of the train. He shows up and he disappears at different times, and he speaks the words of doubt to this little boy through different conversations that he has with him throughout the whole journey. And he's very symbolic of like a shoulder devil, right? That message that we are constantly bombarded with like, you know, whatever your thing is, whether it's like you're not enough or is Santa even real or whatever, that shoulder devil, his message changes depending on where you're at. And the conductor, in a way, is kind of like the shoulder angel. It was so beautifully done because oftentimes this little boy had just been with the ghost, and the message of doubt had continually been building inside of him, and the ghost just kept feeding that. And then the next scene was the conductor explaining something almost to the contrary to what the ghost had just said, because the ghost left the message with this little boy of seeing is believing. And in the next scene, the conductor tells this little boy that seeing is believing, but sometimes the things that we don't see are the most real things in the world. And so it just reminded me of that dichotomy, right? Like that dynamic between the shoulder angel versus the shoulder devil. And we all have those people in our lives, those influences, right? Of believing and not believing, or do something good or do something not good, right? So I found that message in his transformative story. But ultimately, he had to choose himself to believe. And it wasn't necessarily influenced by either of those people in his life on the train. The next person's story of transformation is the little girl. And at the beginning, her ticket had the letters L-E punched into it. And like, I don't know what that means. And at the end, the word that was completed was lead, like leader, leadership. And because she had this natural way of extending herself and caring about everyone around her and leading them to good places. And what a sweet and tender process to watch her to grow into her leadership when this other little boy just kept doubting her at every turn. And he was like, "Are you sure?" Oftentimes he would use that intensity of his voice, and she would stop and question herself and then continue moving forward anyway. But she grew into that space of like, "Yes, I'm sure." And we each can go through that kind of growing experience as well. The third story is little Billy, and his story is one of not trusting people, not trusting the magic of Christmas, not having any evidence that good things happen to him or for him. And in a way, his story touches me the most because he had very little belief. He had very little evidence that anything would work for him. Christmas just didn't work out for him in the past. And yet he was still on the train because he had a similar story to the other little boy when the train showed up at his house, that he had a similar conversation with the conductor to say that this train was going to the North Pole and that it was his choice and he could get on. And he kind of shook his head and he backed away out of fear too, just like the other little boy did. But the train started pulling away and then he started running after the train. And the main character, little boy, saw that he was running after the train, but he couldn't catch up. And so the main character ended up pulling the emergency brake to get the train to stop, and which allowed Billy to get on the train in a safe manner. And Billy gets on the train and they see each other eye to eye through the windows between the two rail cars. And yet Billy turns the other way. And he goes and separates himself and he sits by himself for most of the ride until this little girl who's the leader takes him a cup of hot cocoa. And then later they show up again to be with him, and that's when they have their song. And how neat that Billy's journey and his story is one of learning to open himself up, to trust the people around him, to build some friendships with people. And his ticket, I can't remember what the words were or what the letters were at the beginning. I don't actually think that we know. We didn't see what his ticket said at the beginning. At the end, when he gets back onto the train, and his ticket gets punched, it's kind of an optical illusion because he keeps turning his ticket from one side to the other and the words change. At one point you see lean on, and then he turns it to the other side and it says count on, and the next one says rely on, and the conductor says, can you lean on us? Can you count on us to get you home safely? And Billy looks at him, up at him, with full confidence in his little eyes, and he says yes. That's just one part of Billy's transformative story. The other part is so beautiful because along their adventure in the North Pole, it's Billy and the little girl and the little boy that are the main characters that get lost. And as they're trying to get back, they end up in this looks like a factory, and there's a conveyor belt in the middle of the building, and the conveyor belt starts moving, and so they get off of the conveyor belt and they realize that there's one present that comes down and gets pushed onto the conveyor belt and is going down the conveyor belt to the other room. And they start reading the little signs that are on the present and realize that it's actually a present for Billy. And Billy's eyes light up in wonder and absolute surprise. and he launches himself forward and grabs that present with everything that he has inside of him. And that takes the rest of them on this crazy swirly roller coaster ride to where the presents get deposited in Santa's big pile of presents that he's going to deliver that night. And he's so attached to this present, at one point he can't let go of it, even though something's like pulling him down, and he's like, I can't, like, he only has one hand that they can grab onto, and they're like, give us your other hand, and he's like, I can't, because he's just desperately holding on to this present, because it was the first vestige of hope for him that things do work out for him. And in his previous story, through the song and his actions and him closing himself off, he just didn't believe at all that anything good ever worked for him. And yet this presence showed up in despite his disbelief. And in some beautiful ways, it's one of my favorite parts of the whole movie of The Polar Express, because, and again, like, we can see ourselves in each one of these stories, or at least I can, but there are still parts of me that struggle with the leadership, or struggle with believing, or struggle with the trust. I feel like Billy's message is one of trusting people around you, trusting yourself, and trusting the magic, and trusting the goodness that comes in life, even if you have no experience or evidence that it will work out for you. There's so many other beautiful parts of this story, but I will let you go and watch the movie yet again and see what kinds of insights that you have from watching The Polar Express. It's one of my favorite things to do, to connect about what is inspiring you, what's uplifting you at this point in your life, and I would love to hear your insights if you would like to come and join our community. Details will be following this message. So thank you so much for joining me today. I really do pray and hope that this message touched you, that it brought a little bit more light and joy and life into your world. And like always, I truly believe that the power in being inspired comes from taking action. And so I'm going to invite you to pay attention to what message over the last multiple minutes that you've been listening to this podcast episode, what message has really spoken to you? Is it one of your own personal transformation and what your story needs to look like? Is it one of recognizing where Christ does show up in your life in the ways that I've illustrated from this movie? Is it the fact that you recognize a little bit more that you have a shoulder devil and shoulder angel that are whispering to you all the time different messages? Is it your need to grow into leadership? Is it something else entirely? And it doesn't have to be anything that I've spoken about, but it could be a beautiful and powerful thing that your heart is asking you to take action on. So I invite you to listen to your heart and ask it a simple question of, what's the one thing that I need to work on applying from this message that I listened to? And then listen to find out what that answer is. And like always, go and take action on that. Simple action sometimes is the most powerful thing that we can do. So I invite you to do that. And I know that that will guide your life forward in very positive and powerful ways. Thank you for joining. From our hearts to yours, thank you for joining us today on this episode of the Journey of Wholeness podcast. We are so grateful for you. We believe in you. If you'd love more of this great content, please consider subscribing. We'd love to support you even further by you joining our Facebook group community called The Journey of Wholeness, where we talk about principles to help empower and transform your life along your journey of wholeness. You can find out more details at thejourneyofwholeness.com.